Hi, it's Danielle. Casey and I are off this week, mostly just recovering from Bolo still. Just really, we needed some time. But in our place of doing a new episode, we again wanted to bring you a classic episode. This is one of Casey and I's favorite episodes, from back in 2017, and it features Miss June Diane Raphael sort of giving us a piece of advice, an expression, if you will, that we still use to this day. I've used it recently, which is something Casey and I say all the time now, which is, I'm not going to take that on. And it really, this is sort of the beginning of that when she told us about it and we were stunned and amazed. And it sort of became a tagline, which, every show wants something to, be a tagline. Of course, it's what you dream of. Casey and I just had hoped it would come from us. Instead, it came from one of our nearest and dearest, Miss June Diane. And we're happy. And it even became a t-shirt for us, which, anyone who wants to go to Podswag, please go purchase it yourself. But that's not the reason for the season. The reason for the season, it was a piece of advice that we still follow to this day. And this episode also features our dear, dear friend, Brian Moylan, who is, an expert on The Real Housewives and never fails to make us laugh, make us smile, and teach us something. So without further ado, we present this classic episode called Mystic Mistake, episode 88, back early. And we'll be back next week. But I just want to leave you guys with an image, which is Mary Cosby eating fake snow in the reunion, thinking it was real snow. That is an image I hope never leaves your mind. It's certainly not going to eat mine. She just loves snow, and I appreciate that. I think I would do the same, frankly, but I wanted to leave everybody with a smile, a little piece of appreciation this week. See you guys next week. Enjoy. Everybody, welcome to Bitch Sesh. I'm your host, Danielle Schneider, and Casey Wilson is not with us, as you guys know, tonight, but she will be back next week when we do our live Largo show, our Halloween show. I think there's still a few tickets left. It's Wednesday, October 25th at Largo. You can check the website. I think there's a few tickets left, but please come costumed. Casey and I and April have some amazing costumes planned. Last year, it was one of the most fun days of my entire life, of my entire year. It's a highlight. So if you're in town and can make it, it's so much fun and it's so silly and it's so stupid, and there will be prizes and awards and lots of special treats. Adam Pally is our guest for the evening. It's going to be a fun show. So, and if you don't get to come to the live thing, you will hear it on the podcast. But those of you that are in town, you don't want to miss, because it is so much fun. But you guys, we have a special co-host tonight that I think, I mean, I'm almost in tears because I'm so excited that she's here, and maybe there's something wrong with me. But because everybody knows that I cry when I get like super happy and super weird. I cried when someone insulted Erica Jane. I have issues. But this co-host is a dear friend. Some would say she is the third co-host of Bitch Sesh. She's sort of the ghost of Vicky Past, as I'd like to say. And people have been demanding that she return, and it's been a year.
Wow, has it?
So everybody, Miss June Diane.
I'm so happy to be here, Danielle. And hi, I feel that I've spent this year having a baby, getting really like focused on activist work. And frankly, I've been really selfish.
You have been.
I've
I mean,
been really selfish.
I know the country needs you, and I know your babies need you. And of course, you have a husband as well.
It hasn't been right,
But
though.
we needed you, and you haven't been here for
I
us.
know, I know. And I feel like I'm happy to be back here because I've kind of slipped away from the franchise
You
in general.
have.
And that's a hard thing to admit.
I'm surprised you admitted it out loud.
To myself, I knew like certain weeks were passing and I wasn't consuming in the way that has always felt so right,
Yeah.
which is just constant, like
And
going from one, city to another with usually a week overlap.
Yeah, like a wild abandon. Yeah. Like one city on top of the next, not knowing where one ended and one began.
Yes. And I haven't totally been able to follow.
Now, when you're away from it, does your body feel it?
Interesting about this is like in these troubled times, I feel like I've needed these women more than ever. Mm-hmm. And it's been really hard for me to get to them.
And how does that manifest itself?
I'm simply falling asleep. You know, there's no other way to put it that they're not. I mean, it's hard to say like the threshold for like a good TV show is just simply staying awake.
I mean, as a mom, and I'm not even a new mom, but as a mom of a 4-year-old with a busy life and demands on my life, if I can barely keep it awake, like the sun goes down and I can't keep my eyes aflutter. Like I just.
That's to me, if I can see the opening credits and the end credits of a television program, then it deserves an Emmy Award because I get in that bed really early and I'm, you know, I've been sleeping on all of this.
And can I ask you, because you've been away for so long, so much has happened in the housewives worlds. I mean, Phaedra Parks is now gone from the from the House of Atlanta.
Yeah. So I mean, I caught that.
Oh, good. Okay.
I think I'm pretty much up to date.
Yeah, no. What about Luann falling in the bushes? Not once, but twice.
I did see that.
And how?
So when I say I was sleeping through this, I guess what I mean is I've probably been watching them like maybe the next day.
Wow. That is
when
tough.
I say that I'm embarrassingly behind, I mean like it's usually a day two viewing.
It means you woke up the next morning and got it before you
with a cup of Joe.
Yeah, but before your kids have awoken or while your kids were awoke.
Yeah, so I'm pretty much caught up on all of them. No, I did see New York. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much up to date on OC.
You'll every once in a while text me and say
like
something.
Like, you know, there's a lag time and that's not normal for me. And that's not something I'm proud of.
I know. Usually on a text chain about the housewives, you're in
ahead of the game.
You're ahead of the game.
It's something I pride myself
you're
in.
You're starting the text chain.
I know, the fact that
sometimes you don't chime in on the text chain was alarming. And then we got used to it as you get used to anything.
This is a real come to Jesus. I know. And I've had the thought like they're going to take me off the chain.
And you know what? You might. And honestly, there have been some.
No, I know there have been. And that's as hard as
it
is to hear.
And your sister is on them. And is that tough for you?
I know. No, because I've let her go forward. And you know, when a soldier has fallen, it's like, I want the team to continue on without me. I really do. But I wish I was ahead of it.
But you're still that wounded soldier laying there.
I know.
You're not dead yet.
No, I'm not.
So we could come back and get you.
Thank you.
So, you know, it just depends if you show signs of life.
I know. And I'm here.
I know. This is a step forward.
And by here, I mean in my own home.
Yeah, we came to June. Everyone should know that we left our own nook and said to June, we will come to you. And she said, please do.
Yeah. When I say I made an effort, like I'm in pajamas on my couch.
But we were happy too. That's how bad we wanted you.
So thrilled to be
here. I would like to say that June Diane, you have made some changes since you've last been on the podcast. In one, you took your own advice and you have cut your hair.
Whoa, Danielle. Yeah. Now, I have had shorter hair.
Yes.
And here's the thing that I'm going to say about age and hair appropriateness. I think that there's a version of short hair that actually makes women look younger. I think we're seeing it on camera right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So to me...
Not on TV, but in her Instagram.
In her Instagram, of course.
Sorry.
Like, I think we're seeing that hair, that long hair was a burden on her. Mm-hmm. And so actually, it's not about like, oh, you can't have longer hair when you're older. You can have whatever hair you want. I mean, you know, within reason.
I knew that statement did not ring true. As you said it, you couldn't even stick to it.
I guess my point is like, it doesn't look matronly at all.
No,
and I hope
you
think the same of mine, which is up in a bun right now.
Yeah, but I've like, seen it.
You've
in its
seen
full
it
force.
Down, mm-hmm. and it's actually like a fresher cut. I think the troubling thing about short hair for me is I feel like, I mean, I talked about this at the last Halloween show, like I've been on a journey back to my goal weight, you know, postpartum.
You look amazing.
Thank you. But but cutting that hair was also like cutting the cord of like, I don't have my hair to protect me anymore. And I think what we see with a lot of the housewives is this hair becomes like a layer of protection for
them. Well, Tinsley, of course.
Of course. It is her armor. And those curls are her armor.
And those lashes.
Yeah.
I mean, all of it.
All of it.
Whereas Carol, who is a woman older than all of the women, except for maybe Vicky, Carol might be the oldest in all the franchises. And she looks the freshest and the youngest, I would say.
Agree to disagree.
Whoa!
I love Carol. I love everything that she represents. I love the life she's leading. I think she plays into the whimsy of it all a bit much.
Like the cat lady with the weird couch that is scratched up by cats and dogs and naming them all baby, like that.
Yeah. Like, I think she's started to perform herself a little bit in this past season. And like in her testimonials, I think she knows what works for her. And I'm not finding it to be like authentically Carol anymore.
Wow, June. This is opening my eyes. Because I didn't think of it. But now I...
And it's like, Adam's great, but what's going on there?
Well, I believe they are not together anymore.
Oh.
I mean, I believe they are not together.
Here's what I think. I think you're a woman in your 40s and you want a relationship. Like, you don't start writing a cookbook with a 20-something.
She's in her 50s.
Okay, 50s. Like, with your boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that to me is like a lesson learned years ago.
Yeah.
Like, that's a fucking disaster.
Oh, completely.
A complete disaster.
Oh, yeah. The minute they did it, I also don't think they should have moved in together.
No. And I mean, I know she regretted that and she, you know, that's not happening anymore. But like, I feel like there were mistakes that she is willingly not learning.
Yeah, she should have known better. Her life experience, which is the one thing we do have as we age, especially for women, we have life experience and we learn from our life experiences. To go into those two situations without her eyes wide open was strange.
It's just odd to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. Okay. You're right. I dislike her.
No, I love her.
No, I mean,
no,
like,
I love her.
Yes.
But like, I'm just like... Mm-hmm. It's something about it is not as appealing to me anymore. Like, I used to look at her life like Carrie Bradshaw, like, yes. I want it all, you
me
know?
Too.
But there's something about it now where I'm like, what's going on there? I don't know that it's as realized as we might think it.
Do you think that she's not realized to herself?
Jealous.
Like, do you think that she is, that she knows what's going on? And
listen, I think she has an eating disorder.
Wow.
I think, yes, of course.
You think she has an eating disorder?
Yes, and I think the way she was sort of so obsessed with what's-her-face's eating disorder, I think she loves being skinny.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, there's a real currency in being skinny for her and being the skinniest person in the room.
Well, she is.
Well, and she always is. But, like, I think that it's – I don't see her doing the self-reflection that I guess I hope to be doing in my 50s.
Yeah. I hear that. I mean, she has been through so much trauma.
That I think maybe she's a little arrested at that age. And that I have sympathy for that.
Yeah. Wow. You really... Well, that's what... One of the things I really love about having you on the podcast, June, is that you make us look at it from a deeper
angle. I wish I could enjoy
angle.
Them.
You said something the last time you were here. Because I was defending David Bedore and I was defending... A little bit. And I was defending what's her name's husband. Oh, I've just blanked on her. Kelly's husband, who she is now divorcing.
How could you?
And
she's now divorcing him?
They're getting divorced.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What about Jolie?
I don't know. Good question, June. You're the only one that's asked that when we have broken this news to people. No one seems concerned about Jolie.
No.
And the fact that that name came right to your fore, like you didn't know they're divorced and yet you have the name of their child like imprinted on your brain gives me so much joy.
I do feel she was named after Angelina.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Which again, part of the, but I said, well, don't you think that there is something in that relationship and he listens to her? And you said, forget, look, we all love when men listen to their wives. And I was. That exposed me in a way, like to myself.
So
it exposed me to myself is what I mean.
Understood.
That I saw myself for what I was. And it was.
It seems pretty basic.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. We can all fool ourselves into believing something is a sensitive man and like, oh no, he's a good guy just yeah. because like he listens to someone blather on. Listen to some crazy person just speak at him and we're like, that's a good man. Just because like he doesn't run away. But yeah, so that was, you know, seeing that
sure
was a real deep dive into myself.
Sure.
And so I appreciated that and was frightened by it.
Look, and I want to stay in the light, you know, I don't want to see the things I see. I'd love to enjoy it like, you know, any viewer, but unfortunately it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's getting harder for me to see these women because something happens to them on reality shows. Like they start performing themselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They start becoming aware of the cameras after they've seen themselves on TV. And then there's this like interesting thing that happens where it's like sometimes you see them more clearly when they start performing themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's so fascinating.
I think we really saw that with Vicky.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll get into that.
Yes, we will.
We really have to deep dive on Vicky.
And we got to talk about Peggy, too.
Yes, we really have to talk about Peggy. And we will talk about that in a second. One last thing, and yeah. then we'll take a little commercial break and come back and discuss that. Housewives, now, you, as a person that is good at sort of like some life advice, you know, with the hair cutting and other things that you've spoken to our audience about and spoken to me in my personal life about, you said something that changed me a few months ago. You had had a tragedy happen, which is that your car had gotten stolen yeah. out of your driveway. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how are you? How is everything? It was not great. But you said it was not a great feeling. And you said to me, you know what? I'm not taking it on. And that blew my mind. Because I didn't know you didn't have to take it on.
You don't. There are a lot of things you don't
because
have to take on.
Because I take on everything, especially things that happen to me.
Yeah, no. No, those are especially the ones that you should resist.
So you said, I'm not taking it on.
I'm not.
And I didn't know it was a choice.
It is. Like, I'm not going to take on the identity of someone who's had their car stolen from their driveway. Like, I'm not going to take on the experience of that, what that means. I'm not going to take on, like, the worldview of the victim of auto theft. Like, all that is attached to it, like, is not for me. You know? And so I viewed it as, like, I see that that happened over there. You know, but that's not anything for me right now.
That's not your experience with it.
No,
that's
no,
not
no.
part of your story.
That's not how I identify. You know,
but it was such an awakening for me because I was like, Danielle,
it's so helpful.
Right?
It's so helpful.
And I want to encourage our audience to like things that are happening around
yes.
them. I'm not taking that on. And to me, because it was like, because I take on everything, anything that happens around me, experiences next to me, people I don't even know sitting in a bar. And I'm like, what? Are they okay? Like, I am a sponge. I'm emotional and not in a good way. I'm empathetic, but to a fault in where it's like, it's almost selfish. You know what I mean?
I do. I don't think it's selfish for you. I think you are just like a walking nerve of feeling and it's a beautiful quality. And I feel things.
Yeah. You don't. Seeing you feel things quite deeply.
A lot, actually. And I actually think because I know the depth of feeling that I'm capable of, mm-hmm. that's why I have a really like a strong, rigorous like reflex that kicks in, which mm-hmm. is like, that is not for me. I mean, I have an instinct that I can't entirely get into, but with a friend who was sort of making me responsible for an experience, not a good friend at all, but an acquaintance who was making me responsible for something that happened in her life. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of energy coming at me, mm-hmm. and I just didn't take it on. And it's practice. It's a muscle. It is a muscle. And I had to call on it again and again because I wanted to.
And I've said it out loud. I've said it in my car.
Not taking it on.
And I said, I think I told you, I said it in my car. You know what? Not taking that on. I like said it out loud. And then I blasted Freedom 90 by George Michael. Which in like a supermarket parking lot, which is a sad moment. If anyone saw me crying, then saying, not taking it on, and blasting Freedom 90, George Michael in a parking lot. It might be the saddest scene of a movie.
I wish I had seen it.
But I felt better.
I think that the gift of having children is compartmentalizing to a degree that I never knew I was capable of, mm-hmm. which is just like, and now I'm here, and now I'm with them, and now I'm with them for only this amount of time, and now I'm leaving, and now I'm in this place. Like, it's forced me to really separate mm-hmm. experiences. I mean, even today I was with someone who I care about and I wanted to impress, and I like was holding a Starbucks coffee and didn't put the cap on right and spilled the entire thing on my shirt.
Oh.
And it wasn't a great feeling, but it was also like I know this happened mm-hmm. and it's on a white t-shirt.
Yeah.
And I don't like it at all. I don't like what this says about me. I feel messy. Uh-huh. I feel gross. I feel sticky. Yeah. You know, I actually don't feel good. But it's like, I'm not going to take this on right now.
Hell yeah.
I'm not
taking this on.
Yeah, and I just said I just spilled coffee all over myself. You know,
And then you moved on.
And then we moved on.
Yeah. And all I have to say is freedom. Freedom. You got to give what you think. All right. We're going to come back with our guest and with some, let's get into OC when we get back from our commercial. But guess what? We're not going to take it on. And we're back with Miss June Diane Raphael. And guys, we have such a fucking, and I'm saying fucking because that's how good. This is a star-loaded show. I mean, this
I
is
so too.
If Casey can't be here, like, this is the best of the best. And we have just a fan favorite, our favorite, here from the other coast, Housewives recapper genius, Erica Jane Ghostwriter, Brian J. Moylan.
Hi, guys.
So excited to have you here.
I am so excited to be here and finally meet June Diane in person.
Is she not as wonderful as you thought she'd be?
And I am like moved by this don't take it on thing. It's like a whole philosophy.
Right?
And I had a very similar experience when I was in my early 20s. Things were not going well. And I lived in Washington, D.C. in like the ghetto.
Uh-huh.
And I was asleep in my apartment and someone broke into my apartment and robbed me while I was asleep.
Oh God,
and I like woke up and I was like, oh, I got robbed. And I like called the police and whatever. And then as soon as I left the house, it was like, I'm not taking this on.
It's like specific to getting your property stolen.
Yeah.
Well, it is a real invasion.
Right. And then I would tell people like, oh yeah, I got robbed, you know, whatever. And they'd be like, oh my God, this is so bad. And I was like, whatever, girl. Like, it's just like.
Because you know what it is? I think when you get robbed, it's like you're a victim in like the weirdest way because someone's stole your stuff and it's so invasive.
And someone was right near you.
And someone was right near you and you didn't know. So there's an element that's so embarrassing and shameful in a very strange way that I think that's what we can't take off.
Right. Yeah. It's no. And I feel like when things are like at that time in my life, there was a lot happening and I just did not have time for that. And when things are going well, then I'm like Danielle, it's like, I have time for all my friends' problems and everybody. Yeah. Oh, I'm worried about them, whatever. But when shit's going down, I'm just like, nope.
Wow.
Not today,
Good
Mary.
Good for you. Good. Not today, Mary. I'm not taking it on.
Yeah.
I love it.
But you know what we're going to take on right now is some OC.
Now, well, I'll tell you who's taking a lot on is one Miss Shannon Bedour.
Oh my God.
Talk about taking things on.
Taking it all on.
Now, June and Brian, I haven't spoken to you since this new season of of OC, and June, you're a connoisseur of the OC. And what's your take on Shannon? Both of you, but in that order, what's your take on Shannon this season?
Listen, one of the reasons why I've always loved The Housewives in general is the chance to see, I mean, as an actor, to see people living out loud and so available in their, you know, mania, like, and so free to show it is just, it feels like a gift.
Yeah, it is a gift.
And so to see Shannon go through a midlife crisis, mm-hmm. is what we're watching.
A crisis.
So boldly and baldly is to me, it's really compelling television, and I can't take my eyeballs off of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. However, and I think it was not this episode, the one before that, when Deco tells her that David yes. was grilling them Deco. At the party, whatever. And then
this is the name we're all saying, right? Like that
this is just like accepting yes on Coco.
We're all saying Deco
and
Deco. Coco,
and the girls who I can't differentiate from each other, and either. Both look like 35-year-old receptionists. but it was, so Deco's like, oh, David was grilling me about whatever cancer, blah blah blah, and then Shannon gets in the car and just like freaks out, and it's like, Shannon, don't take this on. Like,
don't take it
she,
on.
It's but like she, has, she freaks out about everything. She has like such an insane reaction to every single little thing. It must be exhausting it to
is.
Be Shannon.
It is. I mean, she is dysregulated.
Yo.
Absolutely.
At a minimum.
Yeah. At a minimum.
And that is her on, that is her at best.
Yeah. And it's hard because it's like we're all, I mean, she's so open about the weight mm-hmm. gain and the.
So when she, every episode that she's like, well, I see they're serving something fried tonight.
Right. Oh my God. Or then that montage of David eating chips in front of her.
Oh, the chip montage was cool.
Well, and also it's like David is so aggressively getting more and more fit.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that is a very aggressive choice on his part.
Well, and know what I think?
And he's working out and getting ripped, and then he will kill her. I swear to God, you guys, that's what we're watching preparation for.
I was thinking the other day
for him to plan like a crazy execution of his wife. I'm in a weird place, whatever. And like, and then escape through the night and like, never be heard from again with like one backpack
and live off the land.
Yes.
And chips
in for,
and
like the mud run of a lifetime.
David Bedore's Mud Run from the Law.
I mean, if that's not a movie, it's just called Mud Run.
I feel like that's what we're watching.
I mean, it's a Sundance
that's what he's
Film
training.
Festival hit.
That is what
Mud
he's
Run.
Training for.
The way wow. he looked at oh her God. At that dinner it's when like, he's so angry that she grew up so rich. Yeah. He hates this woman.
I feel like David Bedore is the opposite of Julia Roberts in Sleeping with the Enemy.
Yes.
Like he's training to be the abuser.
Wow.
Yes.
And well, but I was thinking about this and mm-hmm. I feel like David would hire a hitman to kill Shannon, but otherwise David is never going to leave Shannon. I think David is way too much of a pussy to leave Shannon.
I think
he is way too passive and he's waiting for Shannon. He is trying to drive Shannon to such an extreme that she will dump him.
Like, is he, what's, you know, the first wife in the attic? Mr. Rothschild, Jane Eyre.
Oh, yes.
Right, of course. Yes.
The
yes.
first wife in the attic. Wow.
Okay. So what I think is happening between the two of them is I don't think he'll ever leave her.
Wow.
Also, because okay. I feel
you do think he'll kill.
I think he might kill her, but I don't think he'll leave her because what I saw at that dinner table scene was someone who has very little self-worth and has always felt like the poor kid and mm-hmm. felt ashamed about it. And he's always like held her up on this pedestal mm-hmm. of like, she knows all the right things and she comes from money. And so I think he needs
the
her.
Embodiment of Billy Joel's song Uptown.
Yes. Yes. She's an uptown girl, but mm-hmm. I also think he hates her.
Well, yeah.
I felt that when he said, "Why your mom can't even like, you know, fill her gas tank," or like the first time she drove her car, it's like, yeah, anyone could make that mistake. I don't think that that's so of a rich person. That's a person that just isn't used to driving.
No, he has contempt.
Yeah.
And as my mother always said, contempt is the end of a marriage.
It's true.
David, I think David is reliving his relationship with his mother with Shannon. I think he's been domineered by women his whole life. Because remember, the mother showed up at Locke Women of Rock concert, and she's a monster in the same way that Shannon is.
What was the concert called?
It was Locke, the Girls of Rock.
It doesn't quite make sense. Dreamcatcher.
Oh, my God.
Dreamcatcher. Dreamcatcher. Oh.
Of course.
I mean.
Wow. Well, I don't know what's going to happen, but...
It has been tough. I hate saying this out loud because I don't long for this, but I do think Shannon should get off of TV.
I think that is wise.
I think it's not, it's helpful for her in the sense that like David was probably going to leave her anyway. This relationship wasn't going anywhere. She has a support system of like human beings of her audience that is there for her and
money of her own.
Yes. And money of her own now. Not that she wouldn't have gotten any in the divorce,
right.
But I think she is at a breaking point. And I don't think this relationship on the television in front of the world but now it is no longer helpful.
I agree. I feel like it's a Kim Richards situation where it's like, I know you need to be on TV, but someone needs to get you off TV for your own good.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, I guess you're right.
You don't want, I mean, I don't want to be right about
reality. I'm with TV you, show. Diane. I love watching it.
I find her to be hilarious and I feel for her. You know, she's not a well person.
No.
And I am very intrigued about, we've never seen like a weight storyline on the Housewives before, which I think is exceptionally relatable.
Yes.
And you know, we've all been through that and gone through those periods.
And they showed us flashbacks of her on the same couch with the same person. And that was tough to see
And that's why I've always really related to Shannon. Like that's why I do love her being on TV, because I feel like it's so relatable what she's going through, which is like, went through a depression, not happy, gained weight. You know, it's like I can really understand. Yeah, actually, I'm kind of like, I'm looking at some of these other people, like Lydia and her fucking husband.
I hate.
And I'm like, I've never seen people on TV where I'm like, you both would be so much better looking with 20 pounds on you.
Oh, completely.
Oh, I think the husband is hot.
Oh, ew. I hate him.
They're both awful.
He's so pointy. I don't know. There's something about him.
Lydia is... They're tough so awful to look at. I don't mean, like, I just mean, like, weight-wise and personality-wise. Like, I hate her. I find her both the meanest and the most boring housewife. The combination of her, the fact that she's back, her and her husband, they're holier-than-thou religious bullshit where she's scared of a psychic because, like, I don't even want to be in the same room as a psychic. And that poor psychic who never got her turn. Mystic Michaela, who was hoping this was going to be her, you know
the Alison Dubois.
Yeah, Alison Dubois made an impression on all of us that we'll never forget. And here Mystic Michaela was thinking this was her time. And
it wasn't
she
her
came
time.
And went.
I just think, like, Lydia is, I've never described someone this way, but she is basic.
Yes.
She is just a basic, basic bitch.
But she's also a mean little cunt.
Well, and
I say that, and that's a word I don't use, but
language I don't think we've ever used before.
But
I've never heard you use that word.
So mean spirited. And I don't and I use that as a word that's just a nasty word and not like, you know.
Yeah, of course.
As an offense to women. I just mean it's a sharp word and she deserves a sharp word because I think she's nasty and I think she's nasty to Shannon, who doesn't deserve it. Here is a woman that is clinging. And I'm not saying she can't even be bitchy to Shannon, but she is so undermining and cutting and sort of like, you're great, dismissive.
Yes.
That's what I want to say to these women. Like, look across the table. Shannon
is shaking.
Right.
Yeah. At rest. Like, nobody said anything. Nobody is made a remark.
She is vibrating.
And a woman is shaking in front of us. Like, just read the fucking room.
Yeah. Well, and she purports to be a Christian. She can't go to drag queen. She can't be around a psychic. But it's like, you see this woman who is clearly in need.
I mean, yeah.
And you are just like,
and you are worse.
I can't deal with you.
You are worse to her. You are worse than even like, hey, you're mean to, like, it is dismissive, and there is nothing crueler than making someone seem crazy and not worthy of your time. That stuff I cannot stand.
I'd really like to say to her, if I ever see her, like, just so you know, it looks like your prayers aren't working.
Oh my god,
what I wouldn't give.
That is the meanest thing I've ever heard someone say, and I love it.
She considers herself like this prayer warrior, like powerful prayers, and it's like, they are, your prayer is not working.
Yeah.
No.
And you know why? And you know why
you're disingenuous.
Yeah. Because you're not a good person, and you can call yourself a Christian, whatever that means to you, but you're a bad human, and you're mean, and you're shitty, and you use your money that you did not earn yourself. That your father didn't earn himself, that your grandfather.
Well, and that's
earned.
What got me really worked up about that episode is when she's going shopping with her mom, who I'm having issues with, you know, because I'm just like, you've enabled this behavior. And also, like, this is how wealth moves around in our country. Mm-hmm. Like, we just watched it. Okay, fine. But like, this is how wealth moves around for white people, which is just like,
here you go.
Here you fucking
go. Good luck.
Go.
Open a shitty magazine.
Yeah. Open a mag. Publishing. And I also going to say, your prayers aren't working and publishing is dead.
Yes.
Publishing is dead.
So what the fuck are you doing with this magazine?
And at least if you're going to publish something that's more than just 20,000 watch ads and an article about man caves and how brunch is for bros.
That magazine is so basic. Like, her Christianity is so basic. And I love that they are sending Lydia and a team of like six other women to Iceland to do a review, apparently, of the whole entire country for a men's magazine. Because no one knows what men wants to read more than a bunch of middle-aged reality television personalities.
Also, okay, you are a man. Do you, what's her husband's name? I don't even remember.
Doug.
Okay. Like, I know you said Doug is hot, which I take issue with, because to me, like, maybe if you took him feature by feature, you'd find something.
Well, I think, like, on paper, if you took his
at a glance.
He's conventionally attractive.
At a glance, I'm like, okay. But when I say there's nothing coming off of that body, I mean, I don't see a spark. I don't see blood moving through it.
No.
There is not a sexual pulse to him.
No. Well, his balls have been cut off.
And his balls have been cut off.
But they have not. And that drives me, like, I don't think it's funny because it's not true.
Of course it's not
because
funny.
Because the joke is so basic. Like you said, it's all just like,
but why would you ever, like, do men want to be, is there anything about him and his essence that is appealing enough to, like, start a magazine around?
No, not at all. Because it's all this inherited, like, it's like
people looking to do something.
Cigar bar, fancy watches, sports cars. It's like this, you know, metrosexual in the lowest common denominator.
Yeah. But it feels of a time gone by, too. Like, of the early 2000s when, like, Entourage was something that people thought was attainable and satisfying. And it's just stupid bro culture that nobody really ever liked.
Yes.
And so, and it's just a continuation of that. And who cares?
No one.
No one. And there are times where she genuinely, I mean, I'm getting really nasty now, but
I think I got this. I don't know how you could get worse than I called her a cunt.
There are times where she honestly looks like a skeleton.
Yeah.
Like, her face is so sunken in that I just, like, I can't, I don't know. It's really hard for me to watch her on screen.
Well, she's just a nasty. She's a nasty.
She's a total nasty.
I was
nasty.
Excited for her to come back. I actually liked her the first time around.
What?
Yeah.
She was so not there. This year, at least, she's just awful.
She's awful. But you know that she's a friend of Lisa Vanderpump's, and Lisa Vanderpump tried to get her on Beverly Hills. And they were like, no,
she
thank you.
She can't roll with those horses.
Oh, hell no.
No.
And they demoted her to OC. But, I mean, they are having a casting crisis in the OC. If they're bringing back Lydia, I mean, Peggy, Oh, I mean.
Okay. What do you have to say about Peggy?
First of all, I need to say something about Peggy's hair at that dinner with Michaela.
Okay. Mystic Michaela.
It was. So her hair looked like Shannon Bedore's aura. It was just like frazzled and piecey and all pointing in the wrong direction. I was looking at Peggy's hair with her like one enormous like gem in the holograms earring. And it was just like, oh,
okay. So I watched that dinner scene kind of piecemeal because I kept on coming back to it. And so I lost like the thread at the beginning of it.
There was then, no thread.
Okay, fine. But I kept on looking at Peggy and thinking she was wearing a parka at the dinner table. Like, oh, it looked like she was just like wearing.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, Peggy's like sat down to dine in a giant like North Face parka. and I was worried. So here's the thing that I think happened to Peggy. I think, and this is again, it's going to sound crazy, but I think when Peggy's mom died, Peggy went with her. And I don't think anyone's seen Peggy since.
Interesting.
Wow. I think Peggy, as we like knew her, is gone. And this is a shell of Peggy. And even worse since the cancer scare, because now I think she feels like she really is going to like reenact what happened to her mom.
Yeah.
And I think all the joy and life force.
Yeah.
Went with Mama Peggy.
We saw a glimpse of the real Peggy at her when I think she got a little drunk
for 1 second when she started dancing and I liked those moves.
Me too.
Yeah, and I like this woman. Where has she been?
Yes, yeah. I thought the same thing. I said that last week on the podcast. I was like, I liked this woman today. Yeah. I have not
for you guys for a split second. I mean, it was probably
it was a glimpse.
But in all darkness, you look for a glimmer of hope where you can find it.
Some sort of personality. Something. But I also don't think that Peggy has shown, I don't think Peggy wants to be here
because she's not.
Like, I don't want to talk about that. She's shutting people down.
She's under duress to be here, but I don't know from who.
Possible Dico? That she agreed to do this and then found out about the 3 millimeters of cancer and then had to do all of that. Because when she started shooting, she was still like in bandages and stuff.
I believe so.
I think so. She said she was when she did the photo shoot for Gentleman Cigars.
Much
or whatever
like Leanne Locken, but very differently than Leanne.
Very different. Oh my God. We'll get to her.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I mean, something has happened to Peggy, and I really have never quite seen a woman that is as.
Not there?
Yeah. Vacant. That she seems like a ghost.
Mm-hmm. I likened her to a ghost that's haunting a magical baklava. and I feel like that's kind of what she is.
I will say she did show her housewife's material for a minute tonight. Because it was like, where have you been? When she said tonight, do you trust your husband?
Oh.
And when she said that, like, Peggy came out to play.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that, it was so unexpected. I mean, we knew it from the preview, but it was so out of personality for her to say that to Shannon. And then she went back in the tortoise shell.
Yes.
After that, but it was like the tortoise head
came
out.
There are times where I honestly feel like, and this is like, I find Peggy to be spooky. Mm-hmm. There's something spooky about her. Sometimes I feel like I can't see her face. Mm-hmm. Like
is it because her hair is so bad?
Yeah,
I can't see her face.
She hasn't let us see her though.
I know,
you know.
I know.
No, that's what's so weird. She does not seem interested at all in being on this program.
Now, listen. A piece of information was revealed, I think, via Deco, that Peggy has been in America
since she was 1 year old.
Okay, we need to spend a moment on this.
What did you find, April?
One
came in 1 year on every bio.
So it's true.
Okay, all right.
Because you were saying that can't be true.
Not possible.
Well, this how is your possible. Accent
this is not thick? Possible.
And how do you not understand?
And she doesn't seem to know like idioms and right. sort of say like catchphrases like
how do you not know what a peanut gallery is?
Or like a bee in, she's always like bee in the bonnet. Like it's like she doesn't know kind of like just turns of phrases that you know, we as a people, we as a collective.
Now, even if she didn't, okay, so here's what I'm trying to understand, because even if she spoke Armenian until she went to, like, even if there was no English spoken in her house, when she went to elementary school,
right,
she must have been speaking English.
Well, here's my
theory. Or she would at least have learned English starting at 6 years old and the kids are using it. The slang.
Here's
and are,
my theory,
you know.
Though, is that a lot of immigrant communities, when they come to this country, sort of stay close together.
Insular,
so, you know, like when a lot of like, you know, Jews come over from the old country, they settled in little like areas where just like a ton of Jews from the old country were, you know what I mean? And that they're Armenian. A lot of people came in from Armenia, and that was, they all settled together and they all took school together. You know what I mean? They all come in speaking their language and they don't sort of go outside of the community, you know, first generation and stuff. So I wonder if that has to do with it. Like, it's just like, we just didn't venture out that much. We didn't have to learn to get out as much. We could really speak our language mostly and learn this country's language, but not really travel outside so much.
Yes. What's interesting to me is that she came here really pre-language.
Yes. Yeah.
So, because I have a one-year-old
yes.
who doesn't really, who says a couple of things. Mm-hmm. So I think then we're assuming that her parents spoke no English. So I can understand that. I think mm-hmm. definitely, you know, she, Armenian was her, you know, and listen, mm-hmm. for the listeners out there, like I'm a generations removed from my own immigrant story.
Yes.
So I respectfully am out of my depth about mm-hmm. the newer immigrant story in America. However, mm-hmm. it does seem shocking that yes. she's been here since she
that
was
she's
one.
An English major.
That's tough.
I mean, come on.
I was an English major.
And I know all those things. I mean, my parents are from America, so I don't know, but come on. It's just crazy.
Once you're an English major, you have fewer excuses as to what, because yes. you know, when you are a doctor or you are, you know, pre-med, like then you are well versed in pre-medical.
Imagine if you went to a doctor and he was like, oh, I do not know what that part of the body is called. Like, it's kind of like the same thing.
It's not even just the language, which is one thing. It's mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
It
but
seems like
weird,
the world is, this is still quite a new experience for her.
But I feel like Deco had a very similar experience, you know, coming over at a young
yes.
age. And he doesn't
have any
of that. He
was older, though.
No, and he too
was
like,
way older. He was like seven.
Yeah, yeah. And he too is like, Peggy, what the fuck?
Right, exactly.
Like, Peggy, where the fuck have you been? What do you mean you don't know? What do you mean
Bees
you don't
bonnets.
Know? Yeah, like, what do you mean you don't know monkey in the middle? Like, you're in the fucking middle. Peggy.
And coal in the stocking and like, yeah, I mean, like, I guess maybe it's all, is it just all those phrases? I mean, if it like, was just all those phrases, it's, but it's not that.
No, you're yeah. right. It's
not
like
entirely
she
that.
Has rejected American culture in a way that is very apparent. Whereas Deco, it seems like he embraced it and he's into, you know, like sports yeah. cars and the slang and the clothes and whatever being in America. And Peggy's like, I'm an Armenian. Like, that's my, you know what I mean? That's my thing. Mm-hmm. She even said that about something. She was like,
She said that's not the only expression I know is like, make me food.
Right. Yeah. I'm an Armenian. That's my slang.
Like, it was like, make me food or something. Like, it was a strange Armenian phrase. It didn't matter. Like, what it boiled down to was like, this is what we talk about. Get me some food.
No, I'm sorry. When you look at the two of them, like, sometimes Deco to me looks like he's 17 years old.
Yes.
And
yes.
she looks like she's 55.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's all.
No,
that's
before
enough there.
We move on from OC, and I talk about OC all day with you because I do feel you're a student of it. Vicky, this season.
I need to say something.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to say this to June, Diane's face.
Oh, wow.
It's time to fire Vicky.
You guys, let me narrate what's happening right now. June is taken aback, physically taken aback. She's laughing so as not to cry.
What? And I'm going to make my case. And the case is this, that I feel like Vicky
what?
Has so alienated herself from everybody else that she's no longer like integral to the show. She's just like off on her own doing her own thing, and she's no longer a part of like any of the stories, and she's held on to her rightness in this Brooks cancer thing, which we're still dealing with, because Vicky refuses to admit any culpability whatsoever, or at least say, you know, I'm sorry, guys, this happened and I did something wrong to you. And she is clinging onto her victimhood in such a way that has alienated her from everybody. And no matter who else they bring onto the show, she will never be able to get past that. Like, she's never going to be able to integrate back into a group because she is so insulated herself from reality.
You don't feel like her and Kelly have some tales to spin?
I feel like Kelly, we saw it at the anniversary party. Kelly doesn't want to go sit at the sad girl Vicky's all alone table.
No.
Kelly wants to go sit at the fun party table. And I don't blame her, because I do too. I don't want to go and sit and talk to Vicky about how all the other girls are mean to me. I want to go and have a good time. And I think that's the problem. Anybody new you bring on the show, Vicky's going to be like, these girls were all mean to me and they owe me casseroles and apologies. And so you can't. So until you get rid of Vicky, you won't be able to get the show out of this morass into which it has descended.
Wow. Rebuttal.
I've been thinking about this a while. Wow, because I knew this day was coming.
And it came. Okay. This is not expected. This is going to happen tonight.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I will be. Here's what I agree with. I think it's hard for her to drive story this season.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing that. You know, Brianna's here. Everybody seems like they're doing okay. She's in a healthy relationship. Kodo Insurance seems to be thriving. You know, we're checking on her heart, but physically, I mean, there's nothing really going on.
Right.
She's in a decent relationship. But she just has no storylines because she is in like the silo by herself. However, I think Vicky Victoria Gunvalson is so goddamn watchable.
I do not disagree with you.
I mean, that if she's not up there, by the way, I would pitch bringing back Gina Kehoe and seeing if we could get something started with Gina and Vicky and like just seeing what was going there.
I don't disagree with you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think there's still relationships to repair and maybe bring back. But I feel like watching her just exist. And even when there was a shot of her in that crazy fucking outfit going to the, I think she was going to Coffee with Tamara.
Shirt?
Like question mark? Yes.
Why can't these women wear shirts? We saw it with Megan tonight. Megan was wearing
it's
like
the craziest a thing lamp in the world.
From a Victorian bordello. It was like, it wasn't
so
even a shirt.
So OC though. Like the OC and Kyle love a shoulder and the cutout and a
but not
this
their
and
whole
that.
Arm showing, just the shoulder.
Yes. Anything like that, my boyfriend and I call Kyle Richard sleeves. We'll see somebody that's like, oh, look, she's wearing Kyle Richards sleeves.
Because I think it is like at a certain age, we women have decided we don't like our arms, but we still like our shoulders.
That's right.
And so he's right.
Oh my God.
If there is just a generation of women that decides. Yes. And a fashion like empire has been born on this one
so terrible.
Self-hating aspect
it's
of an older generation.
Well,
of
that
women.
Shirt though, it was like
the
there
coffee
was a
shirt.
The coffee shirt was shoulder, but then like a long sleeve, but then a cutout.
Yeah,
no, there was like a long sleeve, but it had a ruffle that went from the sleeve onto the body.
Yeah,
and then there was like a tank top strap on one side.
There
but not
was
the other.
A tank top strap.
There were no rules and regulations.
It was a mystery.
It looked like a ice dancing costume that got into an argument with a paper shredder.
Oh my God,
it
was insane.
That's what it looked
like. But anyway, there's a shot of Vicky walking into the coffee shop.
I remember this.
And I was watching her and I was like, she's so off kilter. Yes. She's so, like, there's something so not balanced about her body, even when she's upright. Like, you feel like you could blow on her and she'd fall over.
I thought at that moment too, because I watched it too. I was struck by this moment where I
teetered out of there.
I was like, she's almost walking like a pregnant woman.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Or as though she's like never worn heels before. She waddles. And there's something so infantile about her that, and yet there's something like very womanly about her. Like, I'm going to say something about Vicky Gunvalson and like how she scoops up these men left and right. Like, oh, I feel like she, something's going on in the bedroom with Vicky. Like, she's up to stuff.
I don't know what. Anyone to date her.
Because I swear to God, like, she is doing something in there. And I don't know what it is, but these men are coming back for more.
Oh, yeah, yes. They are.
And I think she's a very high sex drive. Mm-hmm. And I think they are into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's just something about her. I think she's also like a closeted lesbian who has like deep sexual fantasies about women that she...
Really?
Oh, yes. If you ever like seen her, she's so uncomfortable talking about her vagina, other vaginas, like seeing mm-hmm. women's bodies, and the discomfort is so scary to her. And I think it's covering like these deep sexual fantasies, deep sexual lesbian fantasies.
Wow, I've never been thought
of you are peeling for sure. It back. For sure. In psychology, what is going on?
No, I just see it. Like, she is, I think, attracted to Tamara, repulsed by Tamara. And like when anyone talks about their vaginas, she's like, ah! I'm like, I gotta go potty. Like, it's all very, and yet I know she's fucking these guys.
Yeah.
But right.
She's fucking them good.
You know what I mean? She's
fucking like real. And I have said this. Vicky and Brooks had a sex life all of us could only dream of.
Oh my God, yeah, absolutely, 100%.
When you went into a room, you could smell the sex, like yes. in the house.
They were
you could
constantly fucking.
That's why Brooks stayed. She kept Brooks around for so long after everyone was like, no. But I agree with your points about Vicky, and I think she is eminently watchable.
I think I could watch her read a phone book.
We might need to manzode with children her and do a show about her that's and the kids at Kodo. Wow.
I don't want to see those grandkids. Though
no. But the choice no. is between Vicky and the show, and if you're gonna save the show, you need to get rid of Vicky.
Wow.
Well, on that, I think we're gonna take a little break. Wow. Oh guys, we're back. And June, are you processing? How are you doing?
I feel badly for doing this in your own home.
You did do this in her own home.
This was tough. I'm really scared that you might be right.
Wow.
I'm really scared that you might be right because I don't know how they continue on like this.
Yeah. They can't unless they keep Vicky and build a cast around her.
This is two seasons now of her alone.
Three. I believe.
Three. Yeah. And we've gotten as much as we can get out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as farther than you could get with any other woman, any other human.
Yeah.
Without, you know, with all these estrangements.
Yeah.
I want to say one more thing about OC before we move on to Dallas real quick. And that is that this Iceland trip is, I've never seen people less looking forward to any vacation that has ever been introduced onto Housewives ever.
Well, none of them are speaking to each other.
Like, also, like, I still feel like even in Atlanta, when like basically Candy had been accused of rape by another of the women, they were all like, we're going to Hawaii. So like everybody was okay. Because like, I get you all want to go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
But everyone, when it was like, we're going to Iceland for my article, everyone was like, like, do we have to? It was like they were being sent on a mission that they didn't want.
Well, I think it's because no one wanted to go on the vacation because they're not, none of them are speaking to each other. Yes. They can't stand to be in the same room with each other. And it's Iceland. At least if you're going someplace like warm where you're going to be on boats and have massages, it's one thing. But you're going to go to Iceland and like, I don't know what.
See Bjork.
Yeah.
I mean, these are also like not world travelers. Like, I feel like they could do Ireland, but like these are not, Iceland I think is way too adventurous for this blood.
Can't we just get him a house in Puerto Vallarta and like call it a day?
Yeah, go to Andalay's, whoop it up.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw something really sad online today where it was like I was on Vicky's Instagram at Instagram story, and she was like, guys.
She had a story out today.
Oh, yeah, she had a story out today. You didn't see the story?
I'm watching my stories.
I was watching my stories, my Vicky Instagram stories, and she's like, guys, I'm now doing whatever that service is where, like, she'll, like, say happy birthday to you, and you could, I'm sure you pay for it.
Okay.
But she'll just, like, send you messages of encouragement or whatever you may need from Vicky. But it made me sad.
Yeah,
just like that. Here's where we are. Like, you know, I don't know if it's like five, you know, like 50
so
bucks and pop
paid for this.
Yeah, but you know, just in her Instagram, she was like,
I mean, in
that.
Terms of like the like branding and sort of the partnerships, brand partnerships and ads, mm-hmm. like they've all done. Like Vicky's has certainly been the worst.
It's been a struggle for her.
Awful. But like, what's awful. Ironic is,
I mean, Wines by Wives, Vicky's vodka, they just never could get off the ground.
But remember when she was running Coto Insurance like from her home office, and yes. now she has.
I mean, she still has that legitimate business. Coto Insurance is still alive and kicking.
I think so, and I think it's going to be around for a while. Although I do wonder, like, how is she still putting in the hours at Coto?
I feel like she
would
must
she be.
Be
your insurance agent? Like, would she just get like, ugh, it rained and my roof came in. I guess, like, will I get Vicky Gunvalson?
I guess
on
I'm
the
surprised
phone?
She never rebranded it to be like Vicky Gunvalson Insurance.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? That there was never. I mean, I guess Skinny Girl isn't really like Bethany's name, but it just seems insane to me that it always remained Coto Insurance.
Right.
After a guard-gated community.
Right. That's where she doesn't have any marketing skills.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like you want a housewife to give you gross bottled margaritas, but you don't really want a housewife to sell you insurance. Yeah. So maybe having
well,
it be Coto Insurance.
Well, that's the only thing of her
past. That's actually really smart.
That is the only thing from the past of Vicky's. Yeah. You know what I mean? Her face has changed. Her body has changed. Her life has changed. Her husband has changed. But that's the one constant.
I know.
Thank God, Coto Insurance.
God, she'll
the
have
one
Coto
thing that
insurance.
She's.
You know what I'd see a spinoff of? The relationship between her and that secretary or office manager, or whoever that woman was. Like that, I would watch forever.
We need a Coto show. It's like Brianna, Michael, Vicky, that receptionist.
Not those kids, though.
Not those kids, and not that husband.
Who,
not Brianna's
kids?
Husband.
Oh, yeah, Brianna's husband's awful. These kids are awful.
Yeah, the kids are really awful. Like, I can't with them.
No.
Yeah.
I can't with any of that side of the family. Just Brianna and Vicky I'll watch, but I don't want that angry
Michael
husband.
Makes me uncomfortable.
I love him because he, like, you can tell he, like, doesn't want to be there.
He's such a
it,
dick.
Like, drives him crazy, and, like, I'm really
you
into
know,
that
he's
energy.
The reason for the whole franchise.
Michael?
The entire franchise.
How is Michael. That? How is that?
So there was originally, I saw it on one of, like, the Before They Were Housewives. You've seen this. Originally, Michael had seen an ad for the production company. Then they were going to shoot something about
Gina Kehoe, I
think. No, it was called Behind the Gates.
Yes.
Yeah, because Gina Kehoe's neighbor was the guy who started the Housewives.
Yes, and so Michael Gunvalson was the one who convinced Vicky to shoot this thing because he wanted to be on camera.
Really?
What? So then Real Housewives started. Like, they filmed a pilot. I think it was called Behind the Gates, and it was like JoJo or whatever.
Yeah,
Joe.
Yeah.
And Slade.
Slade.
And, you know, that woman who had terrible skin cancer.
Yeah, not Lori.
Not Lori, but
yes.
Lori. Mm-hmm. And
no, I think there was another Peggy, too, who like moved to Chicago.
It was Peggy.
Peggy, yeah.
Or Patty.
Yeah, or something. She had some really hard fake tits.
Oh, and Shane.
Really
Keo.
Hard tits.
Yeah.
The dream of all dreams.
Oh, and there was something deranged about Shane Kehoe and also his father.
Yes.
Jim Kehoe.
There was an anger there.
There was an anger and a derangement in both of them.
I was
that
terrified
scared me.
Of both of them.
But they were both very sexy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, gorgeous.
Yes.
Gorgeous.
So Michael was really the reason why this all started.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
That little sad little boy,
that
boy
devil.
Man. Now, I also want to talk. We talked a lot about OC, and guys, tonight's episode is just, we're just going to be all over the place because we have these two people in the same room, and I'm just so excited you're both here. So we're just going to talk and have what happens, and we're going to go off course sometimes. But I want to talk about the fact that you're ghostwriting Erica Jane's book, and I want to talk about some details because you just let us in. No, what's the question that you just posed?
So during the break, I was asking you, Brian, like, I thought a Well, which question?
Well, the one about whether Erika Jayne fucks her husband.
Oh, okay. Okay. Question.
I will say.
Well, the question was, does Erika Jayne fuck her husband?
That is when I tell people I'm working on the book, that's what everybody, what they want to know about the marriage. And I haven't met Tom.
You have not?
No, I have not. Okay. But I've seen them talk on the phone together multiple times. Mm-hmm. I've talked to her about him at length, and she just like really admires him, is really proud of him, is really attracted to his intelligence and his generosity with, you know, not with his money towards her, but to, you know, towards other people.
His philanthropy.
And,
or,
yeah. Uh-huh. And the, you know, he does the, you know, class action suits for victims of, you know, yeah, all sorts of awful things.
Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah. And she's just really attracted to him. And she says that they're very affectionate and that, you know, he was very supportive of her when she wanted to do Erika Jayne. And, you know, she was very supportive of him and all of his legal
pursuits.
Life. Yeah. And she spent, you know, several years kind of just traveling with him and being with him and going to
and
law
being
events.
Mrs. Girardi.
And being Mrs. Girardi. Yeah. And then she decided it was time to be Erika Jayne. But yeah, no, they're the real deal from what I can tell.
Wow.
And yeah. I said, I find him attractive. I do. I find him to be a sexy man.
He is a very handsome
Danielle.
Man.
I know, June.
But
and I have been told on this podcast by listeners that my sexual proclivities aim towards strange things. A listener
Look
said to me,
too. Right, I get it.
A listener
entirely.
Literally tweeted at me that, like, we need Casey back because Danielle, your sexual weirdness is unchecked. Casey. And I agreed.
No, listen, I will say this about Mr. Girardi. Like, if he were to walk in this room and shine his light on me, you know, and fully, like, give me his attention, I feel I would be nervous.
Yes.
I would be a flutter.
Yes, exactly. So,
and there is something I find very attractive about a man who cares about social justice and, you know, and justice in general.
Yes. Yeah.
And is going to fight for the underdog. So that I find really appealing.
Exactly. So what's the problem?
I guess there is none. Actually. Because I'm telling you, if Doug were from OC were to walk in right now, I wouldn't blink an eye.
No.
I wouldn't.
But Mr. Girardi.
Mr. Girardi, I would look alive.
Yes.
I would look alive.
You'd do your best. You'd sit
yes.
up. You'd take the
I'd
ladies
sit
out
up.
To play a
yes.
little bit. You'd bring them to the forefront.
Pinch my cheeks a yeah. little.
Put on your rouge.
I don't get intimidated.
Hike your skirt up.
Yeah.
I don't get
to show
intimidated
you a cast.
By many people, but Tom Girardi I would be intimidated by.
For
I think
sure.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think he has like a presence. And, you know, Erika cops to the fact that, like, you know, sometimes he talks over her and gets impatient with her and, you know, and she admits to all the things that people have seen on camera and have not liked. But, you know, she says it's part of being with a very
it
successful
works.
Man is that, you know, they have a huge ego and, you know, whatever. But yeah, whatever they have is working. And
we can all only wish that.
Yeah. And so there's some great stories in the book about, you know, her moving to LA and meeting him when she was cocktail waitress and her early days in New York City. And we were going through, she got a box of stuff from her mom's house. She kept like all this crazy stuff. And so we were going through that today and she was like telling me stories about where all the things were from and so on and so forth. And there was a program from some place she was in when she was like 13 years old. And it was about, she might've been even younger. She might've been like 12 or something, but it was about like a kid's concentration camp.
Was it I Never Saw Another Butterfly?
Yes, it was.
I was in that.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You and Erika were in the same weird kitty concentration camp play.
It's so crazy. It's such a strange little play.
I never saw another butterfly.
I never saw another butterfly.
Oh my God.
I was done with these real poetry from children that were in this
oh my God.
Concentration camp called Therese.
Yes.
It's so, I'm laughing because I feel crazy, but
not because you're laughing at the Holocaust.
No, obviously everybody knows how I feel about this stuff, but yeah, I know it well. I know many of the, I went out for the lead and did not get the lead, and my father, God bless him, the girl who got it was older than me and like already gone through puberty, like looked like a woman, like had boobs and a butt, and here I, and my dad was like, well, you look more like you'd be in a concentration like as a compliment my father said that to me when I didn't get the lead part.
She looks healthy and able. Like,
she's the healthiest horse. You fit right in. Oh, God bless my dad. Oh, such hilarious. A stage dad. So lovely. But anyway, that's really funny and sad. Now, I'd like to move on shortly. We don't have a ton of time left. I've taken up so much of your guys' time, but I know our audience is going to be so thrilled just to have you both on the podcast. Now, June, you don't watch Dallas.
No.
You're missing out.
You really?
I actually have a trip coming up. I'm planning on getting to Dallas during
and
it.
And don't bother with the first season. No.
That's crazy.
Just dive right in. You don't need it. You don't need it.
If anything, like read a wiki page. June, just so you know some of the
Diane,
place.
Don't really? Take it on.
Okay.
Don't take it on.
You don't have to take this
it's
on.
So not like me to not see the whole canon, but.
No. You don't need it. You don't need it.
All right.
Just jump right in.
You can't. You don't need what you don't need.
No.
And you're going, you know, on this trip of life, only carry what you need to carry.
Travel light. Okay. All right. I'll go into the second season. And I feel like Casey told me that about Ladies of London, too. Like,
Third season of Ladies of London. I'm doing just fine.
I started like 4 episodes before I ended, and then they canceled that show on my ass before I could even tell Jules from Julia.
Wait,
from Julia from
Ladies
Jules.
Of London is canceled?
Ladies of London is canceled.
What?
Yeah.
I did not know.
I haven't seen any of it.
We've missed it before it even...
Yeah.
It's gone before it even came to you.
That feels
Casey's going to be very hurt by this. I have to let her know.
It's gone. Sorry.
Is Casey going to be okay?
I don't know.
I shouldn't tell her.
She's like a little...
Yeah, wait till she's back from like maternity leave.
She can't handle this.
Her hormones are all over the place.
Now, this week we were... You don't know the players. There's a woman, Leanne Locken, who is unhinged.
Oh, and she is... born and bred for the reality television arts.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, she is.
And June, she will do anything to be on TV. She had gotten a full breast surgery and the next day headed out for a trip to Mexico because she did not want to not be on camera. Like,
and
she is fully committed.
As a result of that, she got a flesh-eating bacteria.
And guess what? And that night, found out she got a flesh-eating bacteria. That night went to a party.
Yes. And
a winter wonderland party.
I love this woman.
She's amazing. She grew up in the carnival.
She's a carny.
Wait, did you say she grew up in carnival?
Yes.
No, in a traveling carnival.
I understand, but is it called like carnival? Just like in carnival?
Like I'm summering in Europe.
Right.
I'm going to university.
A carnival. The carnival.
She grew up in
maybe
carnival.
Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it is in carnival.
We'll have to ask Leanne Locken.
Wait, she's a carny?
She's a carny. She grew up on the circuit.
Well, this makes all the sense in the world. Like, yeah. It truly does. Like, of course a carny is... Of course, this is how a carny be, you know. It's like, of course. Wow.
Yeah, and she's a gem and a jewel.
Oh, she's a gift. She's the only good thing about the first season, and mm-hmm. then
and she came back ready to go.
Yeah,
and she's in anger management, so she is a person that is trying to improve herself. She's the only one who has any sort of self realization. Yeah. Like, she knows she's unhinged, and even her therapist, she was like. Like, her therapist will sometimes be like, do you want to do that? Like, she was like, I hate this girl. That's why I'm going to show up at her Halloween party as her. And she was like, what? That's insane. And she like said it to her therapist, and her therapist is like, do you think you should do that? And she's like, I think I should. she's trying to better herself, and that struggle is real and it's fun to
watch. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, she's amazing. And so then this episode, there's some sort of fight. I don't even remember what the fight is about. So there's this one woman, Cameron, and mm-hmm. she Danielle has likened her to both a White Walker.
A White Walker from Game of Thrones.
And
Game of Thrones.
And Tom Petty, did I say that?
No, there was
R.I.P. guys. R.I.P.
I like to liken her to the Mars Attacks woman with the blonde hair. Yes. You know what I mean? Like she's like obsessed with pink and
She talks like it takes her a long time to say anything. Like, and she's chewing her words like it's a big steak. Like, she's a lot, but she's everything. Like, she's fun to watch. She's a terrible human. She was like, we're at this party and they don't even have real glasses. It's all plastic. And then Leanne, of course, throws a glass and she's like, well, that's why it's plastic.
Which is the most genius thing I've ever heard. I laughed out loud.
Oh, me too.
Dallas makes me LOL IRL. Oh my God. It's
I need
so
to
crazy.
See this. And then there are two women that talk like this. They have the little baby voices.
And it is shocking to hear two grown women with children of their own
talk like this.
Does Leanne Lockhart have children?
No.
Okay, thank
And
God.
She should not.
Yeah, that's
no,
right.
No, she should not.
It would be hard for me. Yeah.
And she is the only one in the entire franchise. And I'm talking even more than Gretchen Christine Butte. You know, sometimes you would go to Gretchen Christine Butte's house and you'd be like, this is kind of sad. Like, compared
she's
to.
Still in that townhouse, by the way.
Yeah.
With Slade taking on his junk. But Leanne Locken lives in like just a little house, like in a way like that I would live in. You know what I mean? Like that us normals. And that's unacceptable on one of these shows to live like the rest of us.
I know. It's like why am I tuning in?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, and decorated, fully carpeted in a way that you never see. Like, not new kitchen. You know how like in every house, it's like totally new kitchen and probably made really poorly, but it doesn't matter because it shows up on camera in a way that like photographs kind of well, but like
Made
of
I feel like
dust.
Melissa Gorga's house is like falling apart.
Yes.
Oh yes.
Like, and it's all hollow and it's so poorly made.
It's all
by the
veneer.
Gorgas.
And super glue.
Yes. Where Leanne's is probably really well made, but it's all like it's worn in. It's lived in.
She has like a Barca lounger.
Yeah. Like and so she lives truly. Her life is true. Like, she's not pretending to be something she's not, which is refreshing.
Right. Mm. She's a legitimate crazy person.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she's
married
Dallas
to a
good.
Cop.
Married to a cop.
And then well, someone says, like, you know how like on The Housewives, like Vicky will never admit to doing anything wrong. Like, she'll be like,
yeah,
well, I said that, but you did this. Like, she'll like Leanne's like, you're right. I did say your husband was sucking dick, but I was mad. Like, you know what I mean? It's like refreshing to her kind of like, I said this and it was probably wrong, but I was angry at the time. You hurt my feelings. And like, you're just like, okay. It's like hard to be
it's
mad
hard to
at.
Come back
like,
to.
And she'll literally threaten someone's life. She's like, I did threaten to kill you, but I didn't mean it. Like, it's great.
I don't understand how Leanne Locken is so crazy and is so awful to all of those women, but none of them have beef with her.
No.
Like, they all kind of like.
I mean, I don't know. The way you guys are doing her, like, I'm finding her really charming.
Yes. Oh, charming.
But
bonkers. And terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, she, like, and I've said this on the podcast, but June has to hear this. But behind a door one time when she was about to get her breast surgery, so she doesn't know anyone's listening, okay? She has, you know, they sometimes the housewives forget and they shut the door.
She
says, she was talking about one of the other women's carry, and she's like, you know, I didn't grow up with a lot. She goes, well, I know about him. I heard about him, her husband. I heard boys tell me he gets his dick sucked at the Roundup. And then and she goes, and I didn't grow up with anything in my silver spoon in my mouth. I grew up with things in my hands. And those things were not knives. They're just hands, but they work just as well.
What are you saying?
It's insane.
Like, she'll kill you with her bare hands. Like,
yeah. She will kill Carrie with her bare hands.
Oh, she's a what?
She's an only child, April says. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a crazy monologue.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not even, I didn't do it justice either. Like, you could find it online and it is, as I've said, I know on the podcast many times, like we'll be doing this in monologue workshops.
Danielle's reel is actually just that monologue now.
It was compelling.
Right. And she's amazing. So this week, one of the girls that talks like this whose marriage is falling apart completely. Her husband hates her
Which
too.
Which one?
Brandy.
Yes. And her she children had a, are awful.
Oh, I kind of like those two little girls. I don't know. They remind me of me. But she threw a Winter Wonderland party and everyone was fighting. Everyone was hating each other at it. One girl came on an iPad.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Because she was away. She was like on an iPad robot, Deandra.
Oh, my God. So she just rolls in, but like on the iPad.
Right,
like
with her face on the iPad, and she could control it with whatever it was.
Insane.
Yeah, it was super weird.
Insane.
The future is here.
The future is here. And you can go to a party on an iPad robot.
And it looks like Deandra.
Yeah, and so that was
insane. A grown woman with an apostrophe in her name.
And then one woman accused the other woman, because we knew that Carrie, the woman that's husband might be getting his dick sucked at the roundup. We knew that they had met because she was his nurse while he was still married. But it came out this week that she also was his babysitter for his children.
Oh,
like God. With his ex-wife.
Does that, like, I don't know. It seemed like a bombshell to me that wasn't really a bombshell. Well, it's like, you're already the nurse.
Yeah,
like,
but I think once the children get involved, people feel a little creepy. Like, because you let someone into your house with your children, I think it feels like even more of a betrayal. You know, it's like, you watch my children. Agree. And then her defense was, yes, I babysat them, but not a lot. I mean, I sometimes was with the kids. It was just like, okay.
It was just cliche and cliche for Carrie. Yeah. I mean, the nurse and the nanny.
Yeah, it was kind of, but it was, you know, Dallas is really interesting. It's worth you getting
to get on.
And when Leanne broke a glass and then she said, well, that's why you have plastic. And then they all sort of continued on as if nothing happened. Oh, and when Leanne was diagnosed with flesh eating bacteria, she just goes, why me?
Okay, I need this in my life.
Yeah, oh, yes. So just, you know, while you're in Montreal, if you could get on that, I'd
promise you it's good work that I need to do.
I think you'd like it.
Yeah.
Guys, wow. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian J. Moylan.
Thank you for coming here, both of you.
Up to your house.
To my home.
And Brian J. Moylan, your wonderful Vulture reviews, everybody should read them. If you're not, you're not really a fan of this.
Thank you. And also, Erica, Jane, and I are doing a discussion at Vulture Festival.
Nice.
Wow.
On the 18th here in LA.
Sounds amazing. I'll be
and
there.
And then on Tuesday, the 24th of October, I work with a charity called Here for Drama, and we do like staged readings of Housewives episodes. And we're doing the Halloween classic Scary Island episode.
Of course.
The 24th at Littlefield in Brooklyn.
Nice.
And that's at hereforDrama.com. And Julie Klausner is going to be there. Greg Bennett, friend of the podcast and of mine. So it's going to be an all-star crew. So if people want to come check that out.
And June, you have How Did This Get Made? Anything else you want to talk about?
I mean, I'll just say that organization I've been working with is called Sister District, where you can adopt a red district and try to flip it blue if you are living in a safely blue area. So check it out.
Yeah.
Google Sister District, something will come up.
No, that sounds awesome. And thank you for being involved in that. And I know that you've been active and went with Jane Fonda to flip the district down here and did some amazing work. And I'm so proud of you and impressed
with
Danielle. Everything you're doing. It's been,
again, it's taking my time away from this, which doesn't feel great.
Yeah, that's important work. And guys, don't forget Largo show this Wednesday, the Halloween show. So come on by. We're so excited to come in costume. We are going to have the most fun. June, you were in that show last year.
I am so sad I can't come to it this
year. I know,
we're
so sad you couldn't be there.
It's really devastating.
It
was so much fun.
It was the most fun.
It was the most fun I've had in a long time.
You came as Vicky in neck brace from Glamis. It was just, it felt right.
It was a dream.
It was. Now, thank you, April. Coming with the facts, always. Thank you, Lyra. Thank you, Luz. Thank you, July. Thank you, Earwolf. Thank you, our audience. We'll see you next week with Casey.
Yay!
We'll be back. Thanks, guys.
Bye.